It is a crisp autumn evening, somewhere along the northern borders of Arm, in a small mining town called Nashkel. Not a very interesting place, but for the people who live there, it is their home. Our two characters this evening live there, and probably care a great deal about it. But our story is not about Nashkel, but about something far more exciting. For once again, the Witchlight Carnival has come to town and set itself up just a little north of the town of Nashkel. The Witchlight Carnival is a most exciting carnival, for it is not simply a regular travelling carnival. It is said that this carnival comes from the Feywild itself. It only appears every 8 years, and when it does, tours the various towns and cities of the Sword Coast before vanishing again, only to return 8 years later. Two individuals are waiting just a little away from the carnival. They can see the many lights and sounds coming from it in the distance. It is, after all, roughly twilight now. The carnival only opens between the hours of early twilight till early dawn, so you need to go in the evening. Who are these two individuals, and why are they looking out over the carnival?
Well, the young man in front of you has jet black hair and brown eyes. He's human, probably not much older than 16, judging from the brand new facial hair he's attempting and currently failing to mold into a moustache. He's probably going to grow up to be quite handsome one day, but for now he retains the awkwardness of an adolescent that kind of spoils it all. His cleric robes especially are kind of scuffed and messy, and he's not exactly a shining exemplar of what an adept of Helm is supposed to be. The eternal sentry, always vigilant, keeping the peace and all that. My name is Allegro, and I grew up here in the mining town of Nashkel. I was an orphan, and the Temple of Helm took pity on me and took me in when I was a boy. Since my consecration, I've served under Watcher Nalin as best as I can, trying to learn and help the good folks of Nashkel as best as I can. But sometimes, you know, you have to do things for yourself. You have to enjoy yourself. And this carnival, I'm looking forward to it. I vaguely remember, in the past. Yes, wasn't I here the last time too? I think so.
You think so, but it is hard to remember. And in a way, it is strange that you are going. After all, you are a cleric of Helm. This is frivolity and silliness, not really what you should be focusing on. But something is drawing you to the carnival. You feel that you need something, and you lost it at the carnival when you were young. Something very important to you.
Yeah. That feeling, it's infuriating. I need it back. I really do, and if I get it quickly, I can get back, you know, and they won't even notice that I've been over there, had some fun, and gotten the thing back.
You are not alone, of course. Who's the other individual with you?
Next to Allegro stands I would say a proud creature, a tiefling, a paladin in the making. Kiris is maybe 5'6", which is quite modest, but she stands proud like she was 6 feet tall. Her skin bears a slight tint of red, and the slightly curved horns that adorn her head is her most prominent feature and her most hated feature. If you don't count her tail, of course. She was raised by the priests as well, when her family had fallen upon hard times and had to, one would say, get rid of. But if you ask Kiris, it's they left the children in care of others. They were 12 siblings and they couldn't really afford to keep them anymore.
Indeed. And why are you here with Allegro this evening?
Well, of course someone has to keep an eye on him. Allegro tends to stray a bit from time to time. Who is better to keep him on the path than me? And, of course, it is that nagging feeling somewhere in the back of my mind that something in this carnival is kind of calling to me.
Indeed. It's strange. You also think that you did visit it when it last was in town. Or rather, you think you had to follow Allegro. Again, he was wandering off, but something else happened, but you don't quite remember. But still, here the two of you are. What do you do?
So, I suppose we should just go inside, Kyrus, right? We should try to, we can't be out for too long. At least I can't. I think the Watcher will get cross with me. Let's go. Is there anything that you are especially looking forward to doing there?
Allegro, are you really sure we should do this? We have been in trouble before, and this might actually... I'm just scared that they will kick us out. Should we?
I think it's important. I don't know. I just have this feeling.
Very well. If you can promise me that this will be quick and we can get back and get into our dorms and be fast asleep within an hour, I'm okay with it.
I promise. We'll get back quickly. All right, but come on. We have no time to waste. I say as I begin moving up towards the carnival, looking for a way to get in. Also trying to see, do I recognize it? Is it as it was in my vague memories of the past?
Well, that is hard to tell, but one thing it definitely is wondrous. As the first stars of night twinkle above the apricot sky, you see giant dragonflies whirling overhead, suddenly trailing streamers, and a low mist suddenly is all around you. Through a floral archway, you begin to see the carnival itself, a great collection of tents and wagons, stands and attractions. There are many people here, dozens, many of them dressed in rather strange attire. Everyone wearing what look like butterfly wings? Obviously fake, but everyone seems to be wearing them. And you immediately recognize several people from the town, families, their children, all milling about the carnival grounds. You also notice that the entire carnival seems to be surrounded by a very nice, delightful river, which, of course, you would both know shouldn't be there. There is no river in this area, but tonight there is. It surrounds the entire carnival except at one point, where a little wooden bridge goes over to what looks like a grand booth of some kind. That would appear to be the main entrance.
I study this and I realize, of course, that things are not quite as they should be, but I don't really have time to consider the wider, plainer implications of what is going on here or the magic at play. No, we have to get inside. Come on, I try to move up towards the booth.
My hand subconsciously wanders towards my prayer book, and I kind of look around, nervous that there might be people from our temple here. I do not wish us to be seen. I nod towards Allegro's disappearing back and resolutely step after him.
Well, it's not too difficult to get a bit of an assessment of the crowd, Quiris. You definitely don't see any other people dressed in cleric's robes, that's for sure. If you recognize anyone at all, it is simply the locals, people like the baker or the blacksmith and their children. It isn't really the sort of place people who worship Helm would come. After all, why? As long as everything is in order, there is no need for frivolity. At least that's what Helm says.
You know, Allegro, we should actually be in evening prayer right now.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of exciting that we aren't, isn't it?
Disconcerting more. Hurry, let's do this quick.
Of course, it is not a crime for you to attend such things, merely unneeded. But still, you approach. The noise of the carnival carries over the water. The air is filled with the sound of laughter and joy. Everyone is running around in excitement, and there are sparkly little lights in the sky all over the place. As you approach, you are greeted by a booth, and you see a goblin. A very small, squat goblin sitting at a sort of wooden stand. He has great big glasses and is currently listening to someone with a listening device, some sort of horn that he's using to hear them. That person goes in, and the goblin looks at you and says,
"Ah, hello. Here to buy some tickets, are we?"
Yes, I would really want to get into the carnival. How much is it?
10 silver.
Ah, of course. I look to Kiris, kind of hoping that she will pay.
Kiris kind of looks you up and down, realizes that you have, once again, just ran out with basically just the clothes on your body. Sighs a little and starts reaching for her money. I guess this one is on me then, again.
I put on a sheepish smile.
Could we have 2 tickets, please, to this festivity?
You certainly could. After all, you wouldn't want to enter without a ticket. Oh, no. Yes, 2 tickets.
He hands you over 2 little golden tickets and also some straps, which are attached to fake butterfly wings. He hands 1 to you, Quiris, and 1 to you, Allegro, and says, "Here you go, make sure to put those on."
What do they do? Are they just for festivities, or do they actually have some kind of magic effect?
Well, they can, but no, for you 2, they're merely so we know you've bought your tickets. Everyone has to wear one. He then points to himself. You notice he is wearing a pair of wings as well, although his have a slightly more golden sheen to them.
Oh, I say, with a little bit of disappointment in my voice. Well, yeah, I suppose it will feel a lot more festive that way. And I put on the wings.
You do indeed, and they fit quite nicely. As you do so, this goblin leans over with his glasses and just adjusts them a little, and then starts laughing a little at you.
Oh my, who dressed you? Don't you know that red and green don't go very well together? Not if you wear them like that, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, it's a joke. Laugh with me.
It's just... I kind of want to comment on this always happening, and it wasn't the plan. I actually had picked out proper clothes. It was supposed to... It was matching and everything, and but it just never works out that way, and it hasn't, for as long as I can remember.
Allegro, just ignore him. Let's get on with it.
You're right.
Kiris kind of eyes this character up and down and tries to loom a bit over him, but realizes that the effect isn't really what she's going after. And she kind of just grabs her wings and puts them on her back as she kind of pushes Allegro in front of her into the carnival proper.
As you begin walking past the goblin, he gives you a bit of a look as well and laughs and says,
"By the way, some of the attractions do have a height restriction. Do be careful."
I huff and kind of try my best to ignore him, but it kind of gets to me, this. I'm very self-conscious about my height, for some reason.
Oh, so before you go, where would you like to go this evening? I have the full brochure of events here on me. Anything particular we're seeking tonight?
Where's the lost and found? I'm looking for something that, I think maybe I left the last time I was here.
Huh. It's a strange thing to want to come to a carnival for, but okay, lost and property just over there.
He gestures across a wide boulevard, as I said, full of attractions and stands and people, and points to what looks like a little wagon. There is a big, colourfully painted sign saying, "Lost property, just over said wagon."
Curious, maybe we can just go there first? I feel like I really should get this thing, and then after that we can enjoy ourselves, and then we head back quickly, yeah.
What was it again you had lost?
It's a long time ago, but I'll know it when I see it, I'm sure.
Huh. Well, maybe Maybe it wouldn't hurt to go through this lost and found. Maybe we can find the Watcher's sense of humor or something.
Yeah.
And so you make your way to the lost and found. You briefly have to avoid two children who almost barge into you, their hands full of candy and toys before giggling at you and then running off again. And you make your way to this wagon. You then notice quite an unusual creature at this wagon. You're reminded of a very large cat, but a very, very large cat, almost 5-10 times the size of a regular house cat. They have deep black fur. They also seem to have strange tendrils around their neck, although they're all currently folded up, it seems. They have bright orange butterfly wings attached to their back. They are lounging lazily in front of this lost and found wagon, which seems to be full of various odds and ends, bits of paper, coats, strange objects. What do you do?
I move up to the cart itself. I want to look at these objects. Since I'm not really sure what I'm looking for, I need to get as good of a look as I possibly can of it. Maybe it will be clear once I see it.
Well, you begin looking over the items, and to be fair, none of them seem to be yours. Again, little coats, little keys, random hats. The creature, though, looks up, and a smooth voice says,
"Why, hello there, young one. Are we looking for something?"
"I lost something the last time I was here," I say as I look at them. It's strange. I don't remember how it looks like, but I know for sure I lost it here.
Oh, well, you're welcome to look over the wagon. When did you lose it?
The last time you were here? Do I remember that it is about 8 years ago, or is that also unclear?
No, now you're here. 8 years seems standard to you. You know the carnival comes around every 8 years, after all.
The last time that you were here, 8 years ago.
Oh dear, that was a very long time ago. Well, you're welcome to look, but, well, if you can't find it here, then I don't know what to say. Are you sure you... You sure you lost a thing easily lost?
I don't know. Maybe it's not so much a thing as a part of me. I can't quite tell. It's strange. I know it sounds crazy, but humor me. I just go back to look through the items.
Quiris, as you're standing by the lost and found, you also, again, have this feeling. Yes, didn't you lose something as well? You definitely did. You know you did.
I try to peer into the lost and found objects without letting Allegro notice. Might not do that good of a job, as I kind of lean in closer than I thought I would. And I say, maybe we should just walk around the carnival and see if it jogs your memory.
I guess we might have to. Just give me a few more seconds. And I look through, and I my heart sinks as I'm starting to realize that I'm not going to find it here. But if I can't find it here, then where am I going to be able to find it?
The beast sort of sighs a little and nods, almost as if it knows what you're thinking.
Well, if it is not here, then it must be something more difficult to lose. You must know that those things are hard to find again. Not many people here could help you, other than... Well, maybe Mr. Light or Mr. Witch could help, but they are awfully busy, you must understand. They don't just meet with anyone.
We are not anyone. We are of the Church of Helm. We need to find whatever we have lost and then return to our duties.
Oh dear, sounds awfully serious. Helm? Oh yes, I think I know a helm. Well, sounds awfully serious. I might be able to help you if you did me a small favor.
What? If we could meet Mr. Witcher and Mr. Light and they could help us, then yes, surely I would be a pleasure to help. What can we do?
Well, a good deed never goes unpunished, so they say. I've noticed that Candlefoot seems awfully sad today. There's a few people sad today. You must understand, it's not very nice for the carnival when people are sad. At this, a little child comes over to this being and sort of taps its neck, and you notice the being has a large barrel of something on said neck. The being says, "Oh, excuse me," and pours this little child a drink from the barrel. The child takes the drink, drinks it, and seems very happy before running off. I have to make sure the children have lots of toffee apple juice.
Toffee apple juice? That sounds delicious.
Yes, would you like a glass?
Sure. Yeah.
Curious reaches out and kind of places a hand on your arm when you reach for it. It's like, I'm not that sure that's wise. We're not supposed to eat sweet things like that.
Oh, come now. What is one little toffee apple juice?
Yes, exactly. What is one little toffee apple juice, I say.
We should not indulge, you know this.
We shouldn't be here, remember?
Oh, true enough.
Well, suit yourself. I don't force people to have the toffee apple juice. Anyway, yes, tonight there's been a few upset people, and Candlefoot does look very upset. Look, you can see him over there. The beast kind of extends a paw towards one of the big wagons, and you see sitting outside a very forlorn-looking individual. He's wearing a very exciting green costume with a green jester's hat and big blue butterfly wings. But yes, he does look quite sullen as he's just staring out to the void that is the night sky.
I'll go speak to him and see what can be done. Maybe we can help somehow.
Well, wonderful. If you could even do one little nice thing, well, then I will make sure that Mr. Witch at least gives you some time. Maybe he can help.
That would be fantastic. Come on, Kyrus. Let's see if we can help this person.
And what will stop the next one for wanting more help? And then the next one... We were supposed to do this quick and go back.
But we need to achieve what we came to do. Otherwise, all this is for naught. Helm wouldn't approve of that. We have duty. We have to fulfill our promises. And I promised myself that I'm going to... get this thing.
Well, this thing that you lost, is it really that important?
It's as you say that, Quiris, that a voice in your head, your own voice, says, of course it is. You long for this thing. You always have.
Yes, of course. I know that in my heart, but I would never let Allegro know that I too seek something here. I'm too shameful to admit that.
Come on.
Very well, let's go.
You begin making your way once again through the carnival. Again, you notice a buzzing sound overhead, Allegro, and see a giant dragonfly just suddenly flying over your head. There seems to be a couple riding it, and they're laughing to themselves. It's quite a strange sight, really.
Marvelous. That is spectacular, I say to Kyrus. Isn't it?
A bit dangerous, isn't it?
Well, that too. Yeah.
And you make your way to this large tent. The individual is sitting on a barrel. Nearby, there's a few tieflings juggling some apples, and there seems to be is that a squirrel riding around on a tree? Again, very strange, but you focus. You focus on this individual. Again, he's wearing a very fetching little green number, but he looks very sad. He's also very strange. He looks human, you think, but his colours are all off. His hair, his eyes, is all very washed out. And he's just sitting there looking quite glum. What do you do?
Candlefoot, was it?
The man looks at you and makes to say something and then just stops. He frowns and then kind of just nods his head.
Sorry, my name is Allegro. I've just arrived here at the carnival. Is there anything we can do to help? I know it's a sudden question, but you seem distraught.
You look glum. Glum indeed.
The man looks at the pair of you and tries to offer you a smile. He then again opens his mouth and then closes it. He stands up and he kind of points to his throat. And then
he does something like something coming out of his throat, and he waves his hand around a little, and then looks at you, and sighs, and shrugs.
You lost your voice?
He nods vigorously.
Did you lose it here?
Again, he nods.
Do you know where?
He frowns and taps his chin. He then starts pointing around the carnival and doing a little twirl. He then points back to his throat, and then does a strange little motion with his hand, like a butterfly or something flying, and then he does like a weird thing where he's making a shape in front of his face, like a long shape in front of his face, and then he's kind of trying to do that, and then pointing at himself, and then doing that.
Did you comprehend what he's trying to...
He walked around? You walked around the carnival, and then you saw these flying things, just like the ones we saw, the people flying on the dragonflies?
He shakes his head. He points at one of the dragonflies and shakes his head again and taps his head a few times, and then he sort of points to a random person, and then pointing at them, he sort of points at his face, and then again does this strange shape, a shape in front of his face.
Did someone steal it?
He nods vigorously.
You are aware that's not how you lose your voice. You kind of lose your voice by overstraining it.
He looks at you very oddly and puts his hands to his sides and then laughs a little, making no sound as he does, and shakes his head and says... And once again gestures to his throat, and then this being, and then something with his hands. Anyone can roll a wisdom check if they wish.
11.
Ooh, 2.
Quiris, this is very irritating. You feel this individual could be doing this a lot better somehow, but instead they keep adding all these flourishes. It's almost like he's performing. Maybe that's what his job is.
I think he's mocking us. He's making fools out of us.
Allegro, you don't quite agree with that, but again, you're trying to understand. Something with a beak? Beak face? Maybe something like that, and a person. Maybe some person with a beak. And then you notice he's pointing towards a large lake. It's a very pleasant-looking lake just nearby, actually. You see a lot of people gathering around there. There seems to be something about to happen, and he's looking there very sad. And then he sort of takes out a little ring from his pocket, and he just starts looking at the ring, and then looking at you, and looking very sad.
It was a person wearing a beak mask? That's what you mean? That took it?
He kind of nods, and sort of shrugs as he points over there.
Does the ring help? If we took the ring, would that help us find whoever did it?
He looks at you with alarm, and quickly puts the ring back in his pocket. He doesn't want you to take the ring, it seems.
No, sorry, I didn't mean that. I'm just trying to figure out how to help you.
Is that your ring, or did you apprehend it in some other way?
He looks very annoyed at you for a moment and stamps his foot on the ground. He then shakes his head, points at himself, points at the ring, gives a thumbs up, and then looks sad as he points once more over to that crowd and... Now you notice it, there is something on the lake. There's a big, giant fishbowl suddenly rising out of the waters. It looks like a show is about to happen.
Maybe we should go look at that, Kiris. Maybe we can learn something from it.
As long as you think it has something to do with that, I say, and gesture towards Candlefoot. We're still kind of on a clock, you know.
I do realize that. So, Candlefoot, we're going to go over there and look at this. Is that a good thing? Thumbs up?
He looks like he's thinking about it. He kind of gives you a little thumbs up, and then just points at his eye, and then out to the crowd in his eye. Is he telling you to keep an eye out? Maybe.
All right, we'll do that. We'll keep an eye out. We'll look for the person with the beak mask, and maybe we can find your voice.
He smiles at you, seeming to have taken more to you than your companion, and just sort of nods very gratefully.
We'll be right back, I say, and I smile. Come on.
Very well. lead the way.
You begin making your way closer to the lake. Again, there is no lake here, but there is, currently, a very large lake. You notice swans seem to be swimming about in the lake. Quite large swans, actually. You even think you see some people being carried along on little boats by the swans. Very charming. But that's not what you're looking at. A crowd seems to be gathering around a great big fishbowl. And inside the fishbowl, you see swimming a mermaid. Fascinating. Neither of you have ever seen a mermaid before, but, well, that's what it must be. She's sort of swimming around in the fishbowl, and as the crowd draws near, she begins to sing. It is a wonderful, beautiful song. Whimsical and light, not a song of sorrow, but a song of joy. And all the crowd are listening intently, and some begin clapping, and the sky seems to be filled with little fish somewhere. You don't know where they come from. Little fish just start swimming around this big fishbowl. What do you do?
It's magic. It's beautiful, isn't it, Kiris?
It is. It is. But, I'm just thinking that voice, and why did the voiceless man send us over here?
I don't know, but let's get closer. Let's see if we can spot this person that he described, the one with the beak. I kind of move through the crowd, just actively scanning and looking for someone who would fit that description, or who, for whatever reason, might catch my eye.
Well, initially this is very difficult, because the answer is everyone. There are a lot of strange individuals here. Tieflings, dwarves, gnomes, elves, strange little animals. It's a very interesting crowd. But you do suddenly find yourself turning around as someone suddenly from the crowd calls out, "What a load of rubbish! Oh, I've heard ogres who sing better than that!"
I doubt that.
There's always a heckler.
Let's see who this loud person is.
You both can roll an investigation check if you wish. It's not simply a case of seeing here, it's a case of actively finding someone in this crowd.
This is a day of twos. I rolled two again.
Then you're not entirely sure where that voice came from.
16.
You turn and you think you see... Did it come from that person over there? They are wearing a blue hood. But then you get a bit confused because you hear a different voice. A woman's voice, suddenly, from a similar area, say, "Oh my goodness, how absolutely awful, like terrible, terrible!" You notice the music has stopped a little and the mermaid is looking out to the crowd looking very upset. What do you do, Allegro?
I try to move up to those people who are saying that, who are heckling the beautiful singer.
Roll another investigation check.
I follow, of course, in Allegro's footsteps and try to act like I'm actually know what I'm doing at the moment, but I don't know why he's going this way.
11.
You begin moving in the direction of the heckler, and then they step behind someone, and they're gone. They were wearing a blue cloak, and now they are gone. And then you hear from somewhere else a very deep voice. "Again! Oh dear, not worth the ticket at all!" At this, the crowd all seem to get a little upset. A few people are saying, "What are you talking about? Nonsense!" And you hear the mermaid just suddenly say very loudly, "Oh, I'm very sorry, everyone. I'm sorry!" And she just suddenly swims away out of the fishbowl. She seems to be heading somewhere into the water, and the show has been disrupted.
I was enjoying that. This is upsetting.
I'm not the one that used to frivolous activities like this, but it seems to me that someone is taking all the joy out of this.
It's true, isn't it? They're really destroying what's supposed to be such a fun occasion.
Destroying the carnival.
The crowd seems to be dispersing a little now, and you notice the mermaid has sort of resurfaced just by the water, and she's sort of just looking very sad. What do you do?
Come on, Allegro, let's go talk to her. Maybe she knows something, or someone.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I follow Curious as we move up to the mermaid.
And you approach the mermaid by the lake. She looks up at you. Again, what a strange creature. Humanoid, but also very fish-like. Their hair is fins, and their body covered in scales. But they look quite harmless, and she just looks at you and is like, "Oh, hello, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't realise my singing was so bad. Maybe I'm just not having a very good day."
Your singing was excellent. That person was just being a jerk. Did you happen to see who it was?
Oh, well, I'm not very sure. It sounded like lots of people. And, oh, I don't know. First poor Candlefoot and now this.
You know Candlefoot?
The scales on this fish change colour slightly. Possibly from blue to a little green, you think? Oh, a little, yes. We're good friends, I suppose.
He's lost his voice, as you know. Do you think it might be the same people?
Wait, he's lost his voice? Oh, that would explain... That makes a lot of sense, actually. He was telling me something very important earlier today, and he was going to do something in front of everyone, and then suddenly he couldn't say anything, and he got awfully embarrassed and ran off, and I wonder what he wanted to tell me.
I bet he would love for you to know that you have a beautiful singing voice.
Well, thank you. It was all very strange, though. And again, you're certain it was just one person? It sounded to me like three or four.
I'm trying to jog my memory here. Did it really seem like it was two people, or was it just one that was moving around?
You saw one strange-looking individual, but you definitely heard three very different voices.
I think it's just one person, but they can change their voice somehow.
Huh. Well, that's awfully strange, but why would they want to do this? That doesn't make any sense.
But some people just want others to be unhappy, to suffer, right? They take pleasure from that. And what better place to be a killjoy than at a carnival?
Yes, it's definitely where one would do most harm if would like to ruin things, isn't it? Let's look into this.
Quiris, if you wish, you can once again roll just a perception check this time.
18.
You kind of, again, just think to yourself, where would a strange person be? You start looking around, and again, most people, it's quite easy to tell who they are, you notice. There's not many people wearing hoods. And then you just see someone in a red hood, and they sort of seem to just be hanging around a stall. It's covering their face, you can't quite see who they are, but it does seem a little suspicious to you. And Allegro, if you were to look in the same direction, you'd suddenly think to yourself, that cloak looks very familiar. Wasn't it blue earlier?
They can change their voice. They can change the color of their cloak. That's the one. Come on. And I begin rushing towards him, not really worrying if they will actually be able to spot me as a result of that.
What do you do, Quiris?
Oh, I take big strides, or, well, I attempt to take big strides to follow Allegro, but I'm just behind him.
Then both of you begin advancing quickly on this red-cloaked figure. And as you said, you make no attempt to be stealthy. So the individual looks at you, blinks a few times, they seem to have a sort of human face, and then very quickly begins running from you. What do you do?
I run.
Yes, that is most suspicious. I run after as well, swiftly as I can.
And you begin running after this being. Could you both roll me an athletics check?
Natural 20.
19.
Well, you both make very good pace, and you find yourself almost upon this being. However, just as you are about to catch it, it says something in a very strange voice this time. It's sort of a buzzing voice. And then you hear a squeal of panic from above you, as one of the giant dragonflies suddenly just seems to be veering about, and then it kind of just darts down and crashes almost into you. What do you do?
Try to get out of the way.
Roll me an athletics check.
12.
I kind of stand there for half a second, just staring at this, but then I try to sidestep and make sure that this crashing creature not only misses me and Allegro, but also everyone else around.
Certainly. So you also roll an athletics check.
So 5.
So the pair of you do your best to suddenly avoid this giant dragonfly crashing down in the area. Again, it doesn't quite literally crash into the ground. It is able to fly after all, but it has very large wings and it does seem very panicked. And both of you just have time to avoid this being before falling to the ground. There's a bit of commotion nearby, a stall. One of the stalls nearby gets upended by a sudden gust of this wind and a bunch of sweets and cakes just roll everywhere. You see the being getting away. You also notice that this dragonfly is panicking. Its sort of head is glancing back and forth, and there's an individual riding upon it. They're trying their best to hold on, but it looks like they're about to fall off. Quiris, what do you do?
I was actually looking after the fleeing figure, about to cast a command to get it to halt in its steps, but if this individual is in danger, I try to catch them or at least dampen their fall in some way.
You run into a position hoping to try and catch this person in case they fall. What do you do, Allegro? Again, this dragonfly, you don't think it's a vicious beast. Something's just confused it.
I see what Kiris is doing, and I just try to sort of get out of the way. I don't want to end up harming anyone, and I don't want myself getting harmed.
In that case, you quickly scramble away and remove yourself from this beast's, this insect's purview. Meanwhile, Quiris, yes, the dragonfly is just fluttering back and forth, making large buzzing sounds and looking very panicked, and it starts to fly again, and as it does, this individual falls off. What do you do?
I just try to get beneath it to help it dampen its fall.
Yes, once again, roll an athletics check.
7.
You die for this individual, and they fall on top of you. And you realize they're a dwarf, and they're quite a large dwarf at that. And unfortunately, you weren't quite ready for this, and both of you hit the ground hard. Please take 3 damage.
Oh, my. Could you... Are you okay?
The dwarf frowns and sort of gets up and nurses a big bruise on the back of their head.
Ow! Oh dear! Oh! Well, that lot of good use you were! Ow!
Sir, you're standing on my tail. Could you please get... Please, just...
Well, I'm sorry. It's not my fault I fell off. Oh dear!
And the dwarf gets off a bit of a grumble. And everyone is looking at the scene. And yes, the carnival has definitely had a little disruption. The poor dragonfly seems to finally calm itself down and just begin flying back to the other dragonflies. It's clearly trained. And a lot of people are looking around, looking very upset and confused by the sudden incident. What do you do, Allegro? You have a feeling that you really should have done something there. Why didn't you?
I got scared. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't want to hurt myself. But... Do people seem upset?
They do.
Then, I feel bad. I'm going to try and fix this. I begin casting Calm Emotions, trying to get everyone to just feel good.
Well, you successfully cast this spell, and people look at you, and I guess a few of them shrug, although you notice one of the people who seems to work here, a guy dressed in a red jester suit, just kind of gives you a disapproving look and says... You know, there are nicer ways to make people feel better than just forcing them to feel better.
My heart sinks.
Indeed. Quiris, the dwarf stumbles off, again not being very thankful of you at all, but at least you tried. But yes, Allegro is looking quite upset, and it does seem as if the two of you fumbled that a little. You think to yourself, not very good for a paladin of Helm.
No. I get to my feet and I kind of rubbing the small of my back because getting a dwarf foot in the small of your back is not a pleasant thing to do. But I kind of sort of limp over towards Allegro, and it sure does look like someone is trying to take the fun out of this carnival. We should probably stop them, but still, I kind of look down towards my prayer book hanging from my belt. We should be in evening prayer by now.
Yeah, I feel like we're starting to do more harm than good, but I really need to find that thing that I've lost.
It's as you're saying this that you just happen to notice, even though they gained an awful lot of distance, a flash of a yellow cloak entering a very big tent a little ways off from where you are.
Ah, there they are. The big tent over there. Do you see?
No, but lead the way.
And the two of you begin heading towards this large tent. As you approach, you notice that this tent seems quite big on the inside. There's clearly a few things in here. There's a little entranceway, and there seems to be a little statue in the entranceway. What do you do? There's some sort of big, furry being, maybe a bugbear, sort of sitting at the front of this particular booth, wearing a pumpkin head.
I stop Allegro before we enter. Do you think this place exists by the grace of Helm, or is this something else? Maybe we shouldn't have gone here to begin with.
I think it's a place that certainly has a lot of dangers that I'm not sure if the Vigilant One will be able to protect us from, but it doesn't seem to be a sinister place. It seems like it's genuinely about fun and having a good time. It's just that there's people who are destroying it.
I hope you're right. I hope that Helm is watching over this place as every other, and us. Let's go.
Quirrish, if you want, you can roll a religion check.
Let's see if this... Oh no, I rolled a one.
You find yourself thinking, would he be okay with this? And no, he mustn't be. Hell, maybe this isn't even legal. Maybe you should have a word with the town council when you get back. I mean, fairgrounds, surely that's not a thing that's allowed.
Sounds dangerous. We just witnessed a crashing dragonfly. Of course, I need to speak to someone about this when we get back.
What do you do, Allegro? Quirrish seems to be deep in thought.
Yeah, but I saw that person. They're here. It's going to be dangerous, I'm sure of it. So this bugbear-looking thing, is it a statue or is it a person? An actual creature, alive and dangerous.
Well, it turns its head to look at you. It doesn't attack you, so you suppose it's not that dangerous.
Is it all right if we go inside? I say with a smile on my face.
Hey, well, of course. Give me your ticket. It's one of your stubs. You know, eight. You get to visit eight attractions.
Oh, sure. I take out my ticket.
Certainly. One for the Hall of Mirrors. Enjoy.
Oh. I reluctantly hold out my tickets as well and sighs a little as I enter after Allegro.
Hall of Mirrors. Oh my. And I enter.
This does not bode well.
You begin to enter and immediately notice a big sign saying Hall of Illusions. You then hear this creature sort of clear its throat and say, oh, sorry, illusions. I always get those mixed up, mirrors, illusions. I mean, there are mirrors inside there, so I suppose there is a Hall of Mirrors, but there's also illusions, maybe? Yeah, anyway, enjoy.
Let's just find this individual and find whatever we're missing and then get back.
Mm-hmm.
Please. I fear for our safety.
You enter the area, and the first thing you see are a couple of passageways that seem to go to the left and right. Right in front of you, though, is a very interesting wooden statue. They seem to be of a woman. It's very nicely done, actually. They are wearing a very fancy cloak and have a big, wide-brimmed hat with a pointy top. The woman herself has a small little mark on her cheek, looks like a crow's foot. And underneath it says, "In honor of Tasha the Great." Known for her hideous laughter.
Would I know who Tasha is?
Feel free to roll a history or an arcane check.
That is a 4.
You suppose it's a wizard of some sort. Tasha? Laughter? It sounds familiar, but no, you're not really sure.
Must be someone important.
It's weird to honor someone with a hideous laughter at a place where that's supposed to provoke laughter.
You may roll, if you wish, Quiris. History or arcane check?
13.
When you think about it, is there some sort of spell about hideous laughter? Tasha's hideous laughter? Wait, you think you've heard of a Tasha? Isn't that someone like Elminster or Mordenkainen? You know, big, fancy sorcerers, witches, wizards, that sort of thing.
Well, given who I think she is, it might actually be more fitting than I thought. Maybe. I nudge Allegro forward.
And I move forward, fully intent on finding this shape-shifting or color-shifting creature.
And so you... Do you go left or right?
I look to Kyrus.
Left. Always left. You always go left.
And the pair of you go left, and you find yourself in a corridor full of mirrors. The corridor seems to go off in various directions, but it's a little hard to tell which direction is a mirror and which direction is an actual tunnel or hallway. You also notice, Quiris, something very odd. You look at your reflection, and you're even shorter than you should be. In fact, you are a young child. Tell us what you looked like as a child.
A little chubbier than one would expect from a family of 12, but Quiris had a tendency to sneak away and actually charm herself into sweet things from the baker, from the innkeeper, from whoever she could. Her clothes are worn and ragged, but she has a smile and kind of a twinkle in her eye.
And yes, that person is looking at you. They're your reflection, but at the same time, they're not.
I shy away from it a little bit, and I look to Allegro like, are you seeing this?
Do I see the same thing?
Well, yes. And you're standing right next to them. Oh, so a child. How did you look?
Oh, I was skinny and kind of lanky, tall for my age, I guess. It's a very interesting contrast between the two of us.
It is, especially because you just find yourself noticing that this version of you has a very nice black shirt and black trousers, black shoes, perfectly matching. And then you look down at yourself and see that is not the case anymore.
I used to know how to dress. I knew it. That's it. That must be it.
That's what?
That's what I've lost. That's what I had. That's been bothering me all this time, all these years. Why can I never get anything to look good? You can see, I used to have it. I used to know what I was doing. This place, it took it from me.
Took what?
My sense of fashion, I say, and I'm not really sure that I've convinced myself of that, but I kind of shrug.
It kind of explains a few things, but maybe it's more like you lost your idea more than you lost your sense of fashion. I don't think you can lose it like that. It does explain why you can't even match those magical wings with your current outfit.
Yes, you do look at your back and notice that somehow your wings are different colours.
Oh. Even that, huh? Oh. I sigh.
As you move on, Quiris, something does occur to you as well. You look really closely at your younger self and you suddenly find yourself thinking, you really haven't grown much at all. That can't be right. Like, you must have grown a little bit since you were a child, but if anything, you really haven't grown much at all.
What did we do when we were here last time?
So that's the thing, I haven't been able to remember, but is it clearer now?
I think I used to be taller.
You find yourself, Allegro, thinking that you got in with some other kids. You'd forgotten that, actually.
You got in because you snuck in. You remember that now. You remember the other kids daring the pair of you. Or just you. Was it just you? Quirish tried to stop you, you think? And then you snuck in, because it's not too difficult if you just go around on a little boat and you just paddle through the river very quickly. You remember this. And Quirish, you remember that as well, suddenly.
Did we? We snuck in? We didn't pay?
Yeah, we used the boat.
Oh.
Didn't we? Over the lake.
So we were punished then, perhaps? Huh. Maybe Mr. Witch or Mr. Light can help us get it back then. We just need to pay off our debt, I guess, and make people happy here.
Maybe if we make this carnival fun again, we'll have paid off our debt?
I think that makes sense. I say I'm not clear that I'm actually completely convinced, but it does make a certain amount of sense in this strange place.
You think you hear some voices up ahead, maybe towards the left of you?
This time I'm going to move slowly, and I motion towards Kiris as well. Let's be quiet, sneak up on them.
Yes, of course, but I don't think I'm that good at sneaking.
Both of you may roll a stealth check.
6.
4.
Both of you begin moving forward, trying to be as quiet as possible, although it's rather difficult. You, Allegro, leading the way, think you hear, okay, a voice. Sounds like a young man's voice, saying, "Oh well, are you sure? I just want to know what I want to know. Don't try and trick me, just tell me what you know." And then you hear another little voice that sounds like a young girl, although quite a gravelly young girl, saying,
"Oh, of course, all you need to do is just, you know, offer me a little something. I promise I'll tell you what you want to know."
And then as you turn a corner, both of you are quite shocked by what you see in your own reflections, because suddenly, for a moment, your reflections matched you. And then, Allegro, you see a very old-looking man with a balding head, dressed in a bright pink outfit with green boots. Well, one boot's green, the other's red, and he has his hair in a very odd-looking style. Even though he's balding, what remains of his hair is all kind of done in a weird ponytail. And he's wearing multicolored glasses and a ragged shoe on his left hand. It looks very silly. And you realize it's you. And you as well, Quirris, see, actually not a too bad-looking, distinguished-looking paladin. But again, still very short. But it's you, and the sight of both of you seeing this makes you just react. How do you react, Allegro, in the mirror?
I become angry. No, this is not how... This is ridiculous, this is not how I look.
I kind of resign, I think. It's like, oh well. I guess this will never really come to a conclusion.
You also notice you're missing an eye, Quirris.
Oh my. My hand involuntarily goes up to the missing eye, and I start feeling for it.
And at that, you hear a voice say, "What? Who's there?" And you turn, and you notice a being. They're wearing a green cloak, and they appear to have the face of a bird. This is because you very quickly both realize they are a Kenku, which are bird-like beings. And it seems that this bird was facing a mirror, but instead of its reflection, there was this little girl in the mirror. They have a pig's mask on, and they look rather sinister, you think to yourself. Whoever they are, they vanish from view very quickly, and this Kenku being just starts stepping back like, "I say, why don't you two just leave me alone? What have I done? I haven't done anything. Leave me be!"
You've taken his voice, Candlefoot's voice, haven't you? That's what you've done.
"Oh, you can't prove that," the being says in a very young man-sounding voice. "How can you prove that? What business is it of yours anyway? Do you work here? Do you work for the carnival? If so, maybe you can answer my questions."
"We need it back. Give it back."
"We need to retrieve what we have lost, and without the voice back, we cannot get what we came for."
"Never! Never! Not unless you help me!"
"Help you with what?"
I need to speak to Mr. Light, Mr. Witch. I must speak to them at once. They know. They know what's happened to Zibellina. They know. And I'm going to keep making noise and causing problems until they speak to me. Can you believe they won't speak to me? Do they know who I am?
If you help us resolve our matter, we have been promised a chance to speak with Mr. Light and Mr. Witch, Witch. Maybe you could come with us if we could resolve this matter in a timely fashion, because we need to get to evening prayer.
The Kenku squints a little at you and seems a little suspicious, but you can roll a persuasion check if you wish, Quiris.
15.
You'd help me. What do you want in return?
Your help, of course.
Well, I can help you, certainly. What do you need help with? All right, if you're truly going to help me. Why were you chasing me? That was awfully rude.
You made everyone sad. And you took Candlefoot's voice. That's what you have to return. And if you return that, then we'll help you. And you can stop, you know, making people sad by telling them that they aren't good singers.
And who cares about that? That's nonsense. But if I give back the voice, you'll help me. You promise. That thing in the mirror was promising me something as well. Don't know where that's gone.
Yes, we will. You can come with us, and when we speak with Mr. Witch or Mr. Light or whoever it ends up being. Certainly, but return what you've taken.
I don't know if I need to do that, but I can give you back the voice. All right then. And it takes out a little doll, and the doll has a little noose around it. And it sort of just takes the noose off the doll's neck and then hands the noose over to you. Quiris, what do you do?
I instinctively just reach out and take it.
It seems to just be a normal-looking rope to you, but this being hands it to you, and their voice changes again, this time to your own voice, as it sort of looks at you and says, "Well, there you have it. Now, will you promise to help me? You must find out what's happened to Zibellina. They know. This whole carnival is run by her. Well, not really. She's the patron, I think. They run. Mr. Light and Mr. Witch run the carnival, but they run the show. And that they would know. They would know, and they refuse to speak to me. You must speak to them."
Of course, that's what we said. You can come with us when we speak to them.
Nah, don't think I should. They probably try and be rude to me, and they were rude first, you understand? They were rude first to me. Again, it's your own voice. It sounds a bit strange.
Could you please stop doing that?
The bean tilts its head a little, and this time responds in Allegro's voice. Oh, why not? It's fun. Got a problem with me mimicking you? I say.
I find it hard enough to be myself sometimes. I don't need you being me as well.
Well, tough. Again, I've done my bargain, you have to do yours. I'll just find out what's happened to Zibellina. That's all I want. That's all I want. I'll wait by. I'll be nearby. I'll be watching.
All right.
And I'll stop making a scene then, if you help.
We will. And I don't sound like that.
No, I think you do. The being kind of squawks a little, and then begins moving away. As it does, you notice it changes its form again, this time to some sort of gnome wearing a purple cloak. It's not a massive change, but it's a slight change.
I lean towards Allegro and I say, and I kind of, you actually do sound like that.
I look to Kiris and I smile. And we have what we need now. Finally, we can get it back. Come on.
If we can find our way out of here.
Well, surely it's just go to the right then, or the left, or...
I believe it should be the right, since we did take a left, so... Yeah.
It takes you a few more minutes, but eventually you find your way back to the entrance. Again, as you leave, you notice your reflections seem once more just to reflect the current you, but it certainly was a little confusing in there. And you once again are outside. The carnival is once again underway. It seems lots of people are gathering to a very big
big tent at the centre of everything. There's lots of music and sound coming from there, but what do?
I have to get back to Candlefoot then. I mean, his voice should be back now, is that how it works? Or do we have it?
I hold out the little noose. I guess this is it?
Yeah, that's strange. All right, let's get back to him.
It doesn't take you too long to find Candlefoot once again, and he looks to you and runs over and looks at you with anticipation.
I hold out the noose.
He grabs the noose and sort of shakes it a few times and says, Oh, my wonderful! Oh, thank you! Oh, thank you so much! Thank you! Oh, goodness me! I say that I stole the ring! Well, how rude! Why would you say such a thing?
I'm sorry, but sometimes people's intentions aren't clear to me. And I know now, I think I know, that you intend to ask the young lady to marry you, and that is why you are fingering that ring.
Well, I was, but I don't know. I made a fool of myself, and I don't know. Maybe it was the wrong time.
She is waiting for you.
She is? Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, well, and even though his colour is still washed out, he smiles, and he just runs off saying, thank you very much! As you notice, nearby, that large cat-like being with the wings just looking at you. What do you do, Allegro?
We have done what we needed to do. Now we can get what we need. Moving back to that being then, to report back our success.
The being looks you expectantly as you come over. Well, Candlefoot looks a little happier. What did you do? What was going on?
I look to Kyrus.
Yes, we returned his voice, and I think with that a little bit of his courage as well.
Well, you see, wasn't that nice? Doing nice things for others sometimes helps us more than being strict and all playing by the rules, no? The being kind of gives you a grin. Being a panther, it looks a bit sinister, but you don't think it's meant to be.
Yeah, it felt good, I guess. So, the thing that we've lost now, how do we get that back? You said you could help us speak to Mr. Witch or Mr. Light?
The being nods, and then steps up and vanishes from view.
That wasn't helpful at all, was it?
Let's see. Maybe something will happen.
A couple of minutes pass, and the being pops back in again, very suddenly. Must be some sort of spell or magic. And it says, all right, make your way over there to the staff tent. You've got a little bit of time, as you can see. The Big Top Extravaganza will be happening very soon, but Mr. Witch has agreed to give you 5 minutes.
And that is all we need. All we need. And begin moving towards this big top, then.
I actually turn to the cat-like creature again. And I say, would you know if there's some way you can repay all old debts? Like, for instance, if one entered the carnival without paying and are now willing to amend for that.
The being looks at you very sadly and says, not really. How can you repay something that you've lost? It depends on who has taken the thing from you. You're not telling me. Did you sneak in?
Not now, not this time. See, I hold out my ticket.
Oh, well, very good. You mustn't do that. It's very bad, people who sneak in. And the being kind of looks a little distraught and says, I need to go. I need to make sure I'm by the lost property, just in case any children get lost, do you understand?
Yes, of course. Sorry for keeping you.
And the being kind of goes off, but you did notice that it did suddenly seem a little more sullen when you mentioned this.
Oh my, I think I made it a little less fun. Let's go.
Yes.
You go to where you were directed, a big, fawny, viney wall that seems to be surrounding one area of the carnival. There, again, you see that being with the big pumpkin head. Except you think it's a mask, not an actual pumpkin head. Oh, hello! Oh, it's you two again! Hello! Yeah, right, all right, you can go in this way, just a moment. And the viney wall begins to separate. And you notice beyond the wall seems to be an enclosed area full of wagons
These wagons don't look quite as fancy as the other ones, but they do look a little more homely, and you see a few little cooking fires nearby. Right, the biggest wagon there, the one with the big lights, Mr. Witch, he'll be right there. But again, you've got to be quick, he's a busy man. Mr. Light is already running around the place.
Yes, we will be very quick. And I'm preventing myself from running towards that cart.
And the pair of you arrive at this large cart. It's definitely the biggest one here. Looks very fancy. And the door is open, leading into a large interior. Lots of fancy things on the walls, little treasures, books, a few beds. There's clearly someone's home, quite a fancy home at that for a wagon. What do you do?
Mr. Witch?
A man emerges from the shadows. He's a rather rotund individual, wearing a very fancy suit and a top hat. He's currently looking at a watch. It is a very interesting looking watch. It almost seems to glow from within. He is a balding man. Very grey, you think to yourself. Very, very grey in complexion. And he seems to have elven ears. An elf, you think? But again, very grey. That's not common. He's not a drow. They're a much darker blue. What do you do? This man sort of looks at you and seems to be waiting for the pair of you to say something.
My name is Allegro, and this is Curious. We know that your time is very limited. We came because we've lost things, and we think they have been taken from us because we snuck in here when we were children. And now I can't make any clothes match. I have lost my sense of fashion, and she is shorter. And is there any way that we could, you know, make up for that and get that back? Anything we can do?
The man leans forward and raises an eyebrow. He snaps the watch closed and quickly puts it in his pocket. I see. Here I was expecting to give some free candy or a free ride to two people who had done a little good deed today, and instead you admit that you broke the rules.
Yes, we're not proud of this, of course, and we would like to make amends.
Well, you can't. Why would you be able to undo something that has been done? You broke the rules, you paid the price. That is how things work. You cannot avoid consequences merely because later you say you are sorry.
Is there any way that we could do something good and be rewarded for it? We've made people happier here, haven't we? Perhaps we could get it as a reward instead, get it back that way. Not undoing the past happened, obviously. We did bad. We feel bad about it. I promise.
The man wrinkles his nose a little and starts trying to leave, saying, I cannot just give out rewards. No, I do not think so. Maybe I can give you a free ticket to something else or something like that, but no, not this.
Very well. Could we maybe... There is another topic we could maybe get your help with, as you said, instead of free tickets and candy.
What?
There is this individual that wants to know what happened to... Sorry, what was her name? I turned to Allegro.
Sibyllina, was it?
Yeah. Sibyllina?
The man wrinkles his nose a little and takes out his watch again. He frowns. Who wants to know about Sibyllina?
It's a Kenku. It's the one that's been making everyone sad, destroying, criticizing, stealing. Maybe they can stop if we can get Sibyllina back to them. It seems like they've also lost something.
They've lost nothing. They are merely making a lot of noise and getting in the way of organized festivities for selfish reasons. You spoke with them, did you? No. Sibyllina is fine. They have nothing to worry about.
If it's not too much to ask, could we in some way get some kind of evidence for this or insurance?
Or speak to Sibyllina, maybe. That would be good.
Yeah, that would be good as well.
He sniffs a little. Sibyllina is not someone you simply go and speak to. Do you even know who she is?
No.
She's a patron of this carnival?
Yes. She is also an arch-fey ruler of the realm of Prismere. You don't just go and say hello. You need to... He pauses. You need to go to a place quite far from here and do an awful lot. Are you sure you are willing to do that? Merely to help someone else out?
We made a promise, and I tend to keep my promises.
Well, that at least is something good, even if you still snuck in. Again, you understand the reason I am not giving you back. The reason I cannot give you back what you lost is because I do not have it. No one here does. It is somewhere else now, you understand? You cannot give back something you do not have.
So where is it? In Prismere, you said? Is that where it is?
He kind of frowns, doesn't answer, but you can roll an insight check if you wish. Both of you.
17.
11.
Well, you're not entirely sure, Kurish. You're not that great at reading this man, but Allegro, you think the answer is yes. That's why he's not answering. Yes, definitely.
So it is there. All right, well, we need to get it back.
But we need to be at evening prayer. At least morning prayer.
Perhaps we can get it back before then, I say, and I'm not sure of myself here, really, but perhaps time works differently there.
You wish to go to the lands of Prismere. They are not a safe place, you understand. You might become lost forever, but in answer to your question, that would be the only way of getting back what you have lost, to take it from those who now have it.
But then we must go there. We must get it back. I am not going to live my entire life like this, I say, and I point to my clothes and to how I look. This is not going to work.
Quiris, you feel a conflict forming in your mind. Part of you wishes to attend evening prayer, but something deeper, something in your heart. You want this too. You want it. You want what was taken from you.
I do, and I am driven by a wish to not let Allegro down, and I want to protect him. So, if he goes, I will go.
Despite everything I have said, telling you that you may very well be lost forever, and that such a place is dangerous, you would go seeking what you have lost, and also to make sure Zibelina is fine.
That is what we promised, and we tend to keep our promises. That is what we have been taught to do.
Well, I promised you a reward, and I keep my promises as well. Ugh, very well, quickly follow me. Do not make a scene. And this man just begins walking quickly out of the staff area, leading the way, again looking at his golden pocket watch for a moment and shaking his head.
And I look to Kyrus and I look excited. Okay, okay.
I just want you to know, I don't exactly like this, but I will follow you. And maybe we can find what we lost. That would be nice.
Yeah.
The man leads you through the carnival. Again, a lot of the crowd seem to be gathering at the big tent. Something clearly is about to happen. But for the moment, you are led elsewhere. You are led back to the Hall of Illusions. This time you're just led in quickly. I'll let you off the ticket price for this visit. And he leads you to a mirror. This mirror has no reflection, you notice. He frowns and looks at the pair of you. Once again, you are sure you know what you're doing. You are fully willing to go far, far away to find what you have lost, despite the fact that you may never return home.
Yes.
Backing down on a promise now would be breaking our word to Helm.
You notice out of the corner of your eye that little Kenku has suddenly reappeared again and is sort of looking at you and going, Good, I've been watching the whole thing, and yes, you must go and find Zibelina. They won't tell me, but you'll... I know there's a problem! She's my patron, and she's not answering me!
Maybe she isn't answering you, Kenku, because you're very annoying.
No, I'm not annoying. There's a reason. There's a reason. Something's amiss. Something's amiss. You must investigate. I can't come with you, though. I'm not allowed.
Of course you can't.
Without the beans, just sort of begins leaving, saying, but if you're going to investigate, then good, 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 good. I'll... Hopefully something will happen. And the bean just peters off. Mr. Witch looks at the pair of you and looks at his watch again. Very well, then. I suppose I cannot dissuade you. And he looks to the mirror. It's funny, Allegro, you find yourself thinking as you look at this mirror. Who's that person you saw talking to the Kenku? A little girl wearing a mask? She was on the other side of the mirror.
Who is she?
For now, you don't have an answer. Mist begins to gather in front of this mirror as Mr. Witch takes out his watch one more time and says, hither, thither, here and there. Wander yonder, show me where. And suddenly a bright blue portal appears in the mirror. He turns to the pair of you and says, what you seek lies beyond. Good luck, I suppose. But remember, to be careful. Everything has a consequence. You cannot take something and not offer something in return. You cannot break a rule and expect no consequence. Surely even followers of Helm realize that.
I step forward and I grab your hand, Allegro.
Here we go.
And you step through the portal, and there is a bright flash of light, and you find yourself in a sort of field, or an orchard of some kind. The sky is a bright purple, and there are fairies dancing nearby, little tiny fairies who look at you for a moment, laugh, and then fly away again. Before you, you see a great swamp with giant trees, all very old-looking and gnarled, and amongst the swamp, lots of strange pools bubbling away. And very far away, you think you see a great settlement of some kind with big wooden buildings, but it's quite a distance. You notice behind you the blue portal begin to close, and a man simply say, remember, past, present, and future, the rule of eight. And the door closes. And you are in this place. What do you do?
We are here now. There's no way back until we have found what we came for. So, gotta find Zibelina, and that should do it, right?
And your sense of style and my height should probably be interesting times ahead of us.
Yes. Let's begin making for that settlement, shall we? Perhaps they will have answers.
Yes, good idea. Let's go.
And the pair of you begin to wander off. Wander into this large swamp. This strange sky. Maybe at this point, thinking to yourself, how do you get back? You don't know, if you're honest. But perhaps you will find a way back. On the other side, the Witchlight Carnival continues. Mr. Witch goes to watch the show, and a very different individual to Mr. Witch, dressed in a very fancy clown outfit, carrying a very eloquent staff, sort of comes by his side. Despite being dressed so differently and having colourful makeup on, he still has the same sort of elven ears.
Well, Mr. Witch, was that wise? Was that wise? What are you thinking?
I am thinking very clearly, Mr. Light. We have lost nothing by letting them go.
What if they find out? What if the Coven find out we're meddling?
They won't find out we're meddling. They wanted more people, more objects, more souls. We have set them to. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, I suppose, but yes, it's still very risky, isn't it?
I'm aware of the risks, Mr. Light, I am aware. Again, maybe those two will find what they're looking for. And if not, let us hope that they meet a kind fate and are simply lost for all time.
Oh, yes, yes, nothing we can do about it, though. Hands are tied. Those are the rules of the Coven.
Yes, but maybe they will find Zibelina. Maybe they will. make up for their misdeeds. Anyway, we have a carnival to run, Mr. Light.
Oh, yes, of course, of course.
And Mr. Witch and Mr. Light return to their carnival, aware that a few more others will probably disappear this evening and a few more objects will be taken. But there is nothing they can do. They are bound by their pact with the coven. Will Allegro and Quiris find what they're looking for? Or will they be lost to the Feywild? This is a tale for another day. For tonight, though, think on this. Maybe sometimes it is wise to obey the rules. And maybe sometimes the rules are made to be broken.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played a one-shot of The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, a Feywild adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. And we were joined by our dear friend Rieni Brembari for this short adventure. We have used the soundtrack of Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 by Michael Honig, with permission from Beamdog, from whom you can get the enhanced editions of these classic games. We'd like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschelbert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, and Cameron for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Mentally Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Enjoy the carnival.